Well, look who's here. It's us. It's Vox Pop, a foreshortened version of the program. It's 2:35 on your Wednesday. It's Vox Pop, our live call-in program. I'm Ray Graff. We'll do a computer show today. Here to answer all your computer-related questions is Tony Yang. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996. He's been managing networks for numerous companies and organizations, including this one, ranging from a few computers to many hundreds. Tony Yang, always a good guest on this program. If you have a computer question, really good idea to call fast because the show is, well, it's two-thirds over right now. 1-800-348-2551 is the number if you have a hardware, software, networking question. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, or tweet us at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag VoxPop. So once again, the number is 1-800-348-2551. Well, Tony, I feel like you and I have had a chance to catch up here for the last 35 minutes.
Yes, we did, didn't we, Ray?
The thing about the press conferences, you never know when they're going to end. So we had to be on call here.
That's right.
From 2:07 on. And here we are. And so you had mentioned to me, oh gosh, about 20 minutes ago that there is a Windows 10 coming out.
That's right. July 29th. Get ready, people.
Are you excited?
Pretty excited. You know, we usually get a lot of questions, a lot of interest whenever these new operating systems come out. So we're looking forward to the official release date.
Well, I hope it's better than Windows 8. I'm not a big fan.
No. So, you know, that was a botched release of an operating system, which is why Windows 9 got scratched off the chart, and Windows 10.
So was there a Windows 9 that they were working on at one point?
And yeah, they were going to release that. I think that was supposed to be earlier this year or late last year. But Windows 8 was so poorly received that they decided to scratch the whole project.
I don't think it's not really full of technical flaws. Like, I'm not seeing the blue screen of death. It's just, it's unwieldy. It's not fun to use.
You know, that was the biggest problem with it. We actually find Windows 8 to be pretty stable.
Yeah.
It's a good, reliable system.
I think so.
But the interface was more designed for tablets.
And touchscreens.
And touchscreens. You know, you look at most of these corporate desktops out there. They're all mouse and keyboard driven.
Yep.
And it just wasn't suitable for a huge majority of the users out there.
All right. Well, the number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest. We talk computers. Let's go to Matt in Schenectady. Matt, you're on.
Hi, I have a quick question about network security. You know, with all the things we hear in the news about, you know, this guy getting hacked, information being breached and released, I was thinking myself about starting a red team network security company. You know, companies or other businesses would hire me to test their network security. But I have, you know, just thought of this the other day. Do you have any insight how one would get started in this? You know, what is a good door to try to open, so on and so forth? Any insight would be great.
So you're looking for more of a business advice. You know, there is a market out there for it. Lots of state agencies hire security intruder check companies out there. So there is a market certainly out there for this. But you know,
a lot of competition.
A lot of competition. I was going to say one thing to be aware of is that there are companies out there doing this. So you're going to be in a pool of a lot of other companies out there.
I mean, we don't want to rain on your parade. If you think you have the skill, then you have to follow that dream.
Yes.
But just be aware that there are a lot of companies and entities out there doing that.
Yeah, Matt, I got to tell you, when I started Gig Computers, I kind of just got into it blindly because it was a hobby. I love what I was doing. I built my own computers, and I just started my own company.
And that was 1996, which is the dark ages compared to now.
I actually started in 94. We were officially incorporated in 96. So we've been saying that we started in 96. But, you know, I mean, I encourage people to start their own business. I think it's a great thing. And that's what makes this country great.
Hey,
so,
Matt,
go at it.
Good luck, man. Thank you for the call. Let's go over to Wayne in Bearsville. Wayne, you're on.
Hi, good afternoon. I've been monitoring, and Microsoft has made an offer to upgrade my Windows 7 and Windows 8 systems to Windows 10
yes.
for free and with lifetime support, as near as I can tell. I can think of no reason why not to do this.
Well, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, those of you who have purchased Windows 7 and Windows 8 machines in the recent days, I would say probably within the past year maybe, you will receive these pop-ups on the lower right-hand corner advising you that you have a chance to do the free upgrade. do be mindful that the offer will go out to most people, but if your PCs are older than a year, and let's say, I would double check on that, because what you might be getting is just the first 12 months of Windows 10 for free, and then they'll charge you for either a subscription or a license after that.
Uh-huh.
So just double check on it to make sure that you are getting a lifetime free membership to your Windows 10 OS.
Any feedback on compatibility of existing applications after the update? Might we anticipate anything going astray? Are you aware of anybody doing beta testing on 10?
Wayne, you know, I was just thinking about that while I was listening to you, and one of the things that we always recommend as a consulting firm to our clients is do not step right into the newest operating system.
Yeah.
Because there are always compatibility issues with older software, with the stuff that you already got on your computer. So our advice has always been to wait until the first service pack, or at least a few months into the initial release. So for just speaking from a consulting perspective, I would say hold off for a little while. Let the home users try them out and discover the bugs, and let Microsoft have a chance to fix it, and then you can go at it. The other side of that story is there has been about 4 million downloads over the beta testing period. So it's been tested by millions of people, and I think it's going to be a fairly good system at its initial release.
Well, that's great. And, of course, downloaded by people who are trying to hack into it as well.
I'm sure they are, yes.
So we'll find out about that in days to come. Paul in Stone Ridge. Paul, you're on.
Yeah. I had a question. I have a laptop that I had put a CD in backwards in the drive, or not backwards, but upside down. And so it wouldn't eject it. So I took it apart, and I got the CD out of the drive and put everything back together again, and it booted. And but within 2 minutes, it just shut off completely. And what I found is that the fan wasn't working at all.
Okay.
But I didn't touch the fan because I didn't have to disconnect it or do anything with the motherboard. So I just ordered a fan. I'm going to put it in. But right. I was just wondering. The only thing that I did when I had it open was I blew it out with some compressed air because it had some dust around the fan and everything. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if the fans are that sensitive that you could damage them, by maybe making them spin a different direction than they're normally spinning, or...
Yeah, that's a little unusual. Maybe your fan was just about to fail anyways, and this would be a good opportunity to get the fan changed out. It is a little unusual to be using a air spray can and damage your laptop fan. So,
is it possible you sprayed the compressed air too close to the connector and maybe unseated it?
I suppose so. I guess I could try reseating it. I mean, it was. Yeah, I guess anything's possible with computers.
Paul, changing the fan in a laptop is. It's not all that technical, so I would encourage you to just pop it open and swap it out.
All right, Paul, thanks a lot. Hey, Zach, let's take a break. It's kind of an odd edition of the show because we started at 2:35. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Apex Solar Power, Queensbury, New York. Locally owned, installing solar panels, solar hot water, solar pool heating, apexsolarpower.com for information. Fulton County Tourism, featuring a woodworking and fine arts weekend, Friday through Sunday, featuring jewelers, weavers, potters, photographers, painters, and more, 44lakes.com. Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road Colony, locally owned seafood restaurant and raw bar, realseafoodco.com. Valley Home Improvement, designing and building kitchens, bathrooms, interiors, and additions throughout the Pioneer Valley. Love your home, valleyhomeimprovement.com. Hubbard Hall Center for the Arts and Education, presenting Love's Labor Lost by William Shakespeare in the Community Garden and on tour throughout the region, July 17th through 26th, hubbardhall.org. And Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and more. Where eyewear is an art. Facebook or visionexceleyecare.com.
Hello again, everyone. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. It is our live afternoon call-in talk show, a shortened version of the program today. We talk computers with Tony Yang. And back to the phones we go. And it's, I can't read your name in Petersburg. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name is Brigida.
Brigida.
And I have a question. Does the Norton 360 slow down the computer?
Norton 360
the security virus,
yes.
Antivirus.
It will slow your computer down a little bit. It depends on how fast your computer is. So the slower your computer is, by default, the slower it's gonna make your computer run. But on a you know fairly modern PC, you're probably gonna notice a minimal amount of. Speed decrease.
How old is your machine?
About 5 years.
5 years, okay. So you probably have like a dual core machine. It can get a little slow, and the softwares are getting more and more complex. So it's doing a lot of stuff in the background to keep your computer protected.
Can she add RAM and improve that?
You could add RAM. If you got, let's say, 4 gigs of, or less of memory in your computer, definitely think about getting that upgraded to either 8 gigs or 16 gigs. That's going to help your computer to run much, much faster.
So you would say get what again, please?
Upgrade the RAM, the memory on your computer.
So if you went into your computer store and said, I need to buy some RAM, they would say, what operating system, what processor are you using? And then it would be $20-$30 or I don't know what it is nowadays.
You can just head over to Best Buy.
Yeah, and then they could either put it in for you or with just a little bit of luck and knowledge, you could do it yourself. It's not too bad.
It's pretty simple, yep.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Unless she's maxed out on the RAM, but I got a feeling she's not.
Yeah, no, I don't think. Normally, they'll take up to about 32 gigs.
Yeah. All right, let's go to James in Saratoga Springs. James, you're up.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I've got a couple clients, more than a couple clients, that have old Java apps that require a specific version of Java and in some cases a specific version of their web browser. Right. But my question is this. On those computers that require that they have to run this old Java app on that requires a specific old version of Java, is there a way to load more than one version of Java? And I know the question, yes, the answer is yes to that. But with two versions of Java on it, the newest one and this old version, is there a way to make them centric to a specific application? In other words, if they've got a payroll application that requires 1.6 Java, and then they have an online banking, you know, place that they go to, that requires the latest version of Java, there's no way that I'm aware of that could tell that old version, that old Java app, only to go to that old version of Java and the new banking and whatever else go to the new version. It seems like whenever I load the latest version on, every Java application on that computer tends to go to the newest application, even though I've got the old version loaded as well.
Okay.
I hope that question's... I hope I didn't mix that up.
No, I glazed over about 5 minutes ago, but I think Tony's on it.
No, I heard your question, James. I don't know of anything that can solve that issue for you because when you start a program, there are a couple of things that you can try. I mean, you can have your software run in a particular environment under Windows 7, and 10 would do it as well. But I can't think of a way where you can specify which java.exe file to run that under.
Wow. So
how about this? How about this, Tony? Is there a way for at least me to make, let's say I had two different browsers. I had a Chrome and I had Internet Explorer. Can I get one version of Java to run only in Chrome and the other version of Java to run in Internet Explorer? Is that a possibility?
Wow, this is a specific question, man.
I was going to say yes, but I need to check on that for you, James. If you wouldn't mind, you know, shooting me an email, I'll make sure that you get an answer back.
What is that contact info?
Just send it over to info@gigsystems.com and put WAMC on there as a subject, and I'll make sure I get back to you on it. I just want to check on it before I give you an answer here.
All right, Tony. I appreciate the help.
All right, James.
Thanks, guys.
James, thanks a lot. That was a technical question.
That was very technical.
Hey, Wendy and Phoenicia, you're up next.
Hi there. Thanks for your services here on the air.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm wondering about, I know that you have either the wireless connection with Wi-Fi, and then you can also have wired connection with Ethernet. And I always found that Ethernet was a better connection than Wi-Fi. And you got, like, faster Internet with less buffering and stuff, less problems with Ethernet in general. So I'm hearing that future computers in the very near future will not even have a possibility of having an Ethernet port because everything's going to go Wi-Fi. Is this conspiracy theorist bullcrap, or is this for real?
Thank you for saying that, by the way, and not the alternative. There'll be Ethernet cables, right?
Well, Wendy, what you're probably reading are these tablet PCs that they're producing out there. They actually don't come with an Ethernet port built into it. But I would have to think that you always have the option of buying a USB dongle that would give you the Ethernet port. So Ethernet port is not going away anywhere anytime soon. I can't see it ever going away because that is the de facto standard for network connectivity. Wireless I can't see wireless replacing that.
Well, would the USB dongle slow down the Ethernet?
If you're running, let's say, a 10 gigabit network, it will slow it down. But USB 3.0, even 2.0 can handle up to about a gig of data, which is what most networks are running on. So you're going to be fine for a long, long time. In fact, on my newest laptop that I got a couple of months ago, it did not come with a Ethernet jack on it. And what I had to do was I had to purchase a separate USB Ethernet cable, and that gives me the hardwire connection to my network.
Mm.
The other flavor of Ethernet connectivity out there now is there'll be this little Ethernet kind of a mini Ethernet connector on it, and it comes with a cable that gives you the full Cat 5 connection.
So an adapter.
An adapter.
Oh, interesting.
So either you buy a full adapter, or it comes with a adapter cable.
Well, that's just such fabulous good news. I had no idea about any of that. Can I ask a question that might even be helpful for a whole bunch of us about transferring over from 8 or 8.1 to 10?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm starting to get things. I have I got a little laptop with 8, and I downloaded 8.1, and I guess it just overrided 8.
Right.
And it's a lot more user-friendly, you know, the 8.1 anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I'm starting to get little messages saying, reserve your free version of 10 now.
Oh, okay. So you're one of those users that got that notice. That's good.
So is it going to be the same, but I'm going to do what they say and reserve it and then download that and it'll override 8.1?
Yes. So users of – if you have the two previous versions of Windows, which is Windows 8 or 8.1 and Windows 7, they will directly upgrade to Windows 10. So if you're getting that message on the bottom of your screen – and you're intending on doing the upgrade, you might as well get it downloaded now. And when it's officially released, you'll be able to just click on the button, and it will start upgrading your system to Windows 10.
Hmm.
Oh, okay. So it's not going to start up right away, even if I download it.
That's right.
That was my fear as well.
It would just sit there until it's officially released.
Oh, okay. And then, like, when it's officially released, all of a sudden my computer will change to 10?
No, you would have to manually consent to the upgrade. So when you download it, there will be a series of questions to make sure that you do want to upgrade it, and then it will run through the upgrade process.
Will it save your system settings, including all your program passwords and everything else that are embedded in your your desktop?
Yes. So a direct upgrade path always means that it's gonna reserve all of your current settings that's on your desktop.
That's good.
So your programs, your data, all of those things would be the same after the upgrade.
Cool.
Where's a good place to save Windows 10 until that happens?
Where's a good place to save it?
Wherever you have space on your drive, it doesn't really matter.
How bad of a file is it, Tony?
Windows 10, depending on where you upgrade it, which version of it you download, you're really gonna need anywhere between 5 to 10 gigs of space on your computer.
Okay.
To just grab the file.
Hey, Wendy, thanks a lot for the call. Let's see if we can get another one or two in here. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Paul in Port Henry. Paul.
Good afternoon. I have a question about internet connections.
Okay.
I'm out in the boondocks, and currently I have a satellite connection with HughesNet. They've just upgraded to a faster speed, but I'm limited on their basic plan to 5 gigabytes a month, which seems like a lot, but it's not.
No.
It's not, right.
The speed is a little better than their old connection. My question is, I have some neighbors who are using satellite with internet points or something that they work in the house, and I'm wondering, in comparison on speed and price and allowances on that, is that going to work any better than my satellite connection?
Paul, I do not have an answer for you on that because I don't think we have any active clients out there using satellite internet connectivity. I do know that most of them are restricted to a fairly small amount of data.
It's very frustrating.
It is very frustrating, and unfortunately, you know, with satellite communications, it's an expensive way to go, and they have no choice but to limit the amount of downloads that it goes through. Mm.
It is possible to do it with cell tower.
Yes.
And hot points. What do they call them? Hotspots.
If you're close enough to a Verizon tower, for example, you can get a Verizon adapter that would give you Wi-Fi access.
Oh, really?
Right. You know, that could be something that you want to look into because you can get 10 gigs, for example, on it for like $40 a month.
Okay. Hey, we're out of time here, Paul. I appreciate it very much. In the last 10 seconds here, have you heard much by way of updates on this whole Wi-Fi or internet over power lines?
Yes, we've actually, as a company, experimented with that.
And how did it work? In 10 seconds.
Okay, so electrical wires are copper wires just like Ethernet wires. So you can deliver actually quite a bit of data through it because the wires are usually pretty big. That is a technology that's out there. I don't know if companies like NIMO will get into it, but it is certainly possible.
Okay.
We tested it, and it works well.
Well, let's talk about that next time. Tony Yang, it was a short show, but a long wait. And support comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York, Custom Exhibits, Interactive Media Displays, and Commercial Casework for Corporate Interiors, Museum Installations, and Trade Shows, empireexhibits.com. Haydenville Woodworking and Design, a group of artisans designing and building renovations, additions, new homes, custom cabinets, and furniture for over 30 years. HaydenvilleWD.com for virtual portfolio. SPAC, presenting New York City Ballet, featuring CDPHP Family Night Friday evening with pre-performance instrument petting zoo and children's workshops on the lawn, sponsored by Albany Medical Center, SPAC.org for tickets. And Saratoga Jewish Cultural Festival, presenting Kabod, Is It Good for the Jews? With melodies and spiritual thought, Tuesday, July 28th at 7 p.m. at Saratoga Kabod, Saratoga Jewish Cultural Festival.org. Well, that was a short show, but by golly, it's over. Tony Yang, thank you. Zach Malloy, thank you. Bruce Herbach, thank you. Listening at home, whoever you are, thank you. We're all done.